25. Turn there, please. 1 Samuel 25. We'd like to see Jesus in the Old Testament. And as we said in the Sunday School Hour, everywhere you crack the Bible, you ought to find the blood. You ought to find Christ. Jesus is in all through the Bible. The truth of the matter is, Jesus did not begin in the womb of Mary. There was no beginning of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. In the beginning, it says, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, by Christ. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is the Creator.
Amen.
God the Father spoke from heaven, said, let there be light, and God the Son made the light, and He did it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus never did anything in the flesh. He did everything in the Spirit. Walked in the Spirit. Jesus never performed a miracle till He was 30 years old, after He was baptized in the River Jordan by John. No miracle that we know. No sermon preached that we know of. Jesus preached until He was 30 years old, and after His baptism by John in Jordan. The high priest, the priest's work began when they were 30 years old. Jesus is our high priest. Amen? He's everything. So we ought to realize that Jesus is, was, and forever shall be. So he's going to be the great judge at the end as well. The end of the world, and then that'll just usher in the beginning of the whole new age, a whole new time, not the new age movement now, the whole age of time that's in the future. Jesus, the Bible says, God's committed all judgment into the hands of the Son. You say, who's going to be the judge in the great day when we stand before Almighty God? Jesus will be the judge. He's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Give account of the things done in our body, whether good or bad. Jesus is the judge. Now, He's our Savior now, but He'll take care of the judgment, and He'll judge right. He'll judge in righteousness. So I hope you know Him as your Savior.
Amen.
If you do, you ought to rejoice enough to go and tell someone else
right.
How to be saved, how to be born from above, how to be born again, how to be redeemed. As the Bible says, how to be saved. I like that word, saved. I remember when I was growing up in Buffalo, New York, and there was a great number of a different religion up there in Buffalo area, and the Protestants were so prone to try to keep everything low profile, and they didn't even want to use the King James Version of the Bible. They wanted to use another version. I remember in our high school, we bought a whole page in the yearbook, in the back of the yearbook, Eternity and Hell or Heaven. It had scripture verses all around, but they chose verses from the Confraternity Version, or Douay Version. I thought to myself, why don't they just use the old King James Bible?
Amen.
But I was a young Christian. Who was I to tell those Christians who were, as I look back now, they were compromising Christians. They're Christians, but we don't need to compromise. But I remember they used to say, well, don't use the word saved. Well, why not use the word saved? God used the word saved. I like that word, saved. Amen?
Amen.
He saved us. Amen? We're saved. What must we do to be saved? Philippian jailer said. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in all thy house. That's a good word. Say, what are you saved from? We need to be saved from ourselves and from our sorry sin.
Amen.
Saved for heaven. Amen? Unto righteousness and holiness. I like the word, the Bible words. Some people say, well, people won't understand them. They'll get it mixed up with something else. Well, just use the word saved and then use five other words to explain saved. Amen. You find all kinds in the Bible. Nothing like the power of the Word of God. We don't have to change things around to pacify people. Amen. We just please the Lord. That's sufficient. All right, you found your place in 1 Samuel 25. As I said in the Sunday School Hour, I hope you read through the whole Bible. I say this to help you now, not to make you, some people are newly saved. They haven't even heard this. But how many, you read through the Bible systematically. Now, if you don't feel bad about it. Don't lie about it. Raise your hand, please. Not in church, amen. But how many of you read through systematically through the Bible? You're doing that now. Would you raise your hand? Okay, for you that don't and are not, let me encourage you to read through systematically so you can cover it all. John Rice said, he's up in heaven now and he knows what he said was right and what he said was right. He said, how can God bring back to your remembrance something you've never read? Something you never heard. And it's all the Word of God. You say, well, it's hard for me to get it, preacher. Listen, it was real hard for me. I read through the New Testament, I think, 27 times before I got through the Old Testament one time. Very difficult for me, but not anymore. I'm going to read right through it now. Read right through it. So just hang on there, amen? So I'm a bad reader, a poor reader. You weren't any worse than me, or you just sure need some education. I was very poor reader. Extremely poor, but I started reading anyhow. Amen. I determined I'd read a chapter of this book every day of my life by God's grace and God's help me too. I mean a chapter every day. A minimum of a chapter. Some of you ought to read 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 chapters a day because you're such a fast reader and you can even read with comprehension fast. I think you ought to read through the Bible prayerfully and carefully and slowly. Determinately to get something. Listen, read through it all. Ask the Lord. Maybe you have to, as I said in the Sunday school, you maybe have to read a couple of the epistles or the Gospels while you're reading through a chapter of the Old Testament. But just read through it all. Ask God to help you. Christ is everywhere in the book. Amen? We just said, just look for Him. 25 of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 25, 1 through verse 44. My, there's a lot in here for us to get. Start with verse number 2, please. 1 Samuel 25 and verse 2. There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shears. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not. Neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes. For we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh into thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give unto it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those things. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David, thy messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master. And he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them. When we were in the field, they were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. And Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me, behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the asses, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missing of all that pertained to him, unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain unto him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and fell at his feet, and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Now, like for Brother Hill, you come up and read, would you, brother? He's a good reader. Amen. This is an awful long reading. By the way, I hope you read that much of the Bible already today. I hope you read that much of the Bible this week. Amen. I'll venture to say there's a whole lot right here. We didn't read that much of the Bible this week, so you sure need to be here this morning. Amen. Amen. 25. Read on, Brother Hill, if you would, please. All right.
Let not my Lord, I pray on thee. Name is so is he. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which have kept me back from hurting thee, except... Okay. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, with which have kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after, that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord had returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail, to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David set us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth, and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with five damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. But Saul had given Michal his daughter, David's wife, to Phalatai, the son of Laish, which was of Galeam.
Thank you for reading, brother. Calling on him. Didn't get many notice. Appreciate that. It's difficult. Thank the Lord, there weren't too many words in there. Difficult. I have a terrible time with them. I'm going to speak to you this morning about Abigail and David in regard to the fact that he's much like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll see about this wicked man called Nabal, how God dealt with him. By the way, God will deal with wickedness, and he will do away with wickedness in his own time, his own way, for his own glory. Could we stand as we read verse 10 together only, please? Just verse 10 in unison. Verse 10 of chapter 25. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that are breakaway, every man from his master. With the emphasis on who is David and who is the son of Jesse. Let's pray. Father, you may be seated. As we saw during the Sunday school hour, look back to chapter 22 just for a moment, please. Earlier, there were three different kinds of people that came to David. And as we said during the Sunday school hour, Jesus is the one that we need to come to. But at this time, David was a type of Christ, I believe. And here, there were different groups that came to him. It says in verse number 2 of chapter 22, And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And I would like to say that the one we need to gather around and gather to is the Lord Jesus Christ, as they gathered to David, King David. We need to gather to Jesus. We need to realize our sufficiency is of him. If we don't know how to pay our bills, you better bring your case to Jesus. Not to the lawyers. By the way, if you're having a problem mentally, or you're having a problem physically, I'd be very careful to go to these psychiatrists. I would not even recommend Christian psychologists and Christian psychiatrists. Most of them are a bunch of compromisers. Half of them, their marriage hasn't been much either. You realize some of those fellows are marriage counselors, and they had all kinds of problems themselves. I wouldn't go to someone to help me with counseling, Brother Michael. I wouldn't do that. They're having trouble in their own home. Can't even keep their own wife straight, their own kids straight. And they're going to try to tell me. They say, well, he's a Christian. I don't care what he is. He can't control his home. How's he going to help me? Well, amen. Oh, me. That's why the pulpit, that's why this pulpit, as we preached on Wednesday. Boy, I'll tell you, I got wound up Wednesday night. We had visitors here. I'll tell you what, they knew they'd been here by the time they left anyhow, sister. Amen. Some people say, well, we went to that church. We didn't even know we'd been to church. Well, you'd been here Wednesday, you'd know you'd been to church. Amen. I'll tell you what, the pulpit needs to be filled with a man who's been married one time, has one wife, amen, and not some others that are down the road somewhere. Amen. Amen. This would be a poor example to you all. Amen. No, I got to keep to my own wife. You better too, or you're going to be in trouble. Amen. But if you're in distress and you have a family problem, you better take your problem to the Lord Jesus, and you better go to find a good Bible preaching church and some people who love you and pray for you no matter what kind of mess you're in. You don't want to go to somebody who's going to charge you. Never charged anybody for one bit of counsel I got. I just asked God to help me to give them the right counsel, because I'll meet God one day with what I tell people. I don't want their money. I'd like their life to count for God, though. You know, I find most people come for counsel, they've already made up their mind. They just want you to put your approval on their sin. I remember over in the old church, one lady came up. She wanted to tell me how it was all right for her to leave her husband. I said, that's not according to the Bible. The Bible says, this boy, was she mad? Boy, if we weren't in church, she'd have spout and spit and hollered and screamed as she went out. But I told her the truth anyhow. She'll meet God with what she does with the truth. It's our job to follow truth, to find it and follow it. The truth will lead you out the right way all the time, won't it? Amen? Let God be true and every man a liar. She wants me to put my approval on it. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell her what God says. Sometimes you have to ask God to give you wisdom to even know what He says. Find out what the Word of God says. Here's the situation with Nabal now. Follow with me. Because this is an Old Testament story. And if you're not careful, you won't follow it. King Saul was hunting after David because David was going to be the choice of God to take the kingdom. David is running and Saul is chasing him like a pack of dogs is following after a fox, trying to get a fox, or tree a possum. And the scripture says here that David just kept running. He hid in the caves. He would not kill Saul when he had opportunity. And so here's a little bit of a lull in the midst of it, you'd think, in the midst of his running and just being like a vagabond and chasing around. And the scripture says that he comes and he's in this certain area, still being hunted by Saul, and he's close by the sheep of Nabal, this man called Nabal. The word Nabal means a fool. And he was sure a fool. And by the way, many times in the Bible, the people are named like that. Jesus, his name means Savior. Joshua means Savior, and Joshua brought them in, didn't he? Joshua brought them over the Jordan River into Canaan land. Jesus is going to bring us over into heaven, amen? So people say Jordan is not a picture, because there was fighting over in Canaan. Jordan's not a picture of going over Jordan over death. Well, I don't know. I know one thing. Jesus is going to take me over into heaven, amen? And it'll be all right over there. But that names mean something. And Nabal was that, and Abigail means the delight of her father. In the light of her father, and she was that type of person. She was of good understanding. By the way, isn't that the problem sometimes? Some good girls with good understanding, and she was of a beautiful countenance, but she married a man who was curlish and very vile, and he didn't have anything good to say, and he had a bad disposition. Shame on Abigail's father for giving her to such a man. Maybe because he had a lot of money. Maybe because he was prosperous. No, it'd be better to have a poor man who talked nice to you and not be a fool. But in that day, of course, the parents chose for the children. Sometimes they would give them. In fact, I met a man from India, and I told him I wanted to come to India. He said, what we do is my daughter sat across from five different men, and she didn't want any one of them. And they just talk. They can't touch each other. They don't sit beside each other. They sit across the table from each other and talk about each other, and they conference, and these parents decide that this son of theirs might be a good one for these people's daughter, and they sit across from each other and they talk for a couple hours and decide whether this would be the right kind of a person to live with. Well, that would be pretty good. And this one dear brother, he said she tried that five times, didn't like any one of them. We didn't require her to marry him. He didn't say about the sixth, I figured she was married. She probably liked the sixth one. And that's the way they did it back then. But here's a man that Abigail married, and she knew how he was, how vile he was. He had money, but he was a wicked man. And David is there, and David's down there with all this, and the sheep are all over the place, and he and his men are there hiding from Saul. And the scripture says that while he's down there, he's a protection from the Philistines, even for this Nabal. And none of these men, though they were in want, went and killed any of Nabal's sheep. They didn't hurt anything. They were kind of a wall of protection from the enemy for them and didn't steal anything or anything, plunder them. And so what happened is David got in want. As we said during the Sunday school hour, Jesus was poor. He, that we through his poverty might be rich. He who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. I'll say what I said in the Sunday school hour. If you want to be a rich person and have great influence and be a great somebody, then you don't want to be like Jesus, do you? Because Jesus was poor. The only thing he had when he went to Calvary was a seamless robe that he had on him. That's all Jesus had. And then Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." Jesus lived off the alms of the people. By the way, if you're going to preach the gospel, if you're not willing to live off the alms of the people, you better just forget the ministry, forget being a missionary, forget being a pastor, forget being an evangelist, because you're going to live off the alms of the people.
Amen.
Right? So I want a big house, and I want to... Well, just don't get in the ministry. Jesus didn't promise you all that. He may give you all that, but he doesn't promise all that. He promises you nothing but a bunch of rocks thrown at you, amen? Either in words or physical. He got nailed to the cross of Calvary. And he was the greatest preacher that ever walked, ever taught. No one ever spake like this man. They nailed him to the cross. Why should you and I be treated any better? So I like everybody to like me. Then don't get in the ministry. I've had people spit mad and walk out of our other church at Christmas service. One lady, she was so mad. I said, "Boys and girls are different." Boy, that made her mad. That's all I said. Boys and girls are different. I thought they were. They taught me that when I was your age, girls. Honestly, boys and girls are different. She got mad, and I got off on a little something else, and I felt led to come back on it again. And I did, and she put her coat on this time and about grabbed her two youngies up. My boy David had invited her to come to church. Well, I just knew she was going to disturb the whole service, because I'd had other ones get up and walk out. Thank the Lord, she made it through the service. She didn't stick around long. And I'll tell you, she got mad just because I said there's a difference between boys and girls. Well, that woman, saw her later over in one of the schools I was teaching. And I'll tell you, she needed help, sure enough. Amen. She hadn't got to first base. She didn't know there's a difference between boys and girls. God had a different role for them. And I'll tell you, we better stick to the Bible. We better get back to the Bible.
Amen.
Let God be true and every man a liar. You better marry right. You better be willing to be poor. You better be willing to be mistreated. Say, everybody, they think that I live at the church. Amen. They accused me of that. When I was in boot camp, they'd say the Lord's Prayer. They'd say the Hail Marys and the Lord's Prayer. And then I was the Protestant lay leader. I got up on the tables there, and I'd tell them about Jesus. And all I knew was, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." That's the only verse I remember telling them. I must have told them more than that. And I'll tell you what, they had the Hail Marys and Our Fathers, and then they heard me. I told them Jesus was the answer, even in boot camp.
Amen.
He's the answer everywhere.
Amen.
He's the answer to our needs. This dear lady, she married a devil. She married a devil. She knew it. The scripture says that David got down, he didn't have any bread for his men or for himself, and he sends his servants to Nabal, and he tells his servants just how to say it. Say it nicely. Say it kindly. I mean, and be respectful. And even say that I'm his son, thy son David, giving respect to Nabal. And we've protected your sheep. We've not plundered anything. We've not done anything. We've not stolen anything. And he said, all we want is whatever you have left over, whatever you have, give it to us. He didn't ask for something great. He was the son-in-law to King Saul. He was a somebody, even though he was on the run. He was somebody. He was royalty. And he came to him, and he asked for what? Just give us any provisions that's in your hand. We just need some food. And this wicked Nabal said, "Who is David? Who is David, and who is the son of Jesse?" I tell you, that's what people say today. He knew who he was. Why do you say, "Who is the son of Jesse?" He knew who he was. And it says in our reading, you've caught that Abigail, she knew who he was. Because she said all about a stone will sling out and everything. Did you catch that when it was written? She was inferring back to when he killed Goliath and took his head off. She knew how great he was. And so did Nabal. But he was a wicked, vile, tongue devil, rich man who didn't know God. And he said, "Who is David?" I'd like you to know there's a lot of people that have heard about Jesus. And they say, "Who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus?" What did Pilate say? He said the same thing, didn't he, Pilate? And then later on he said, "Thou art the man." There over there in the scriptures it says that Pilate came before him. Now over and over again. Over and over again. I tell you, we better get back to the scriptures. A lot of people know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. This fellow was just a devil. You say, well, I've never been drunk. I never got drunk like that. I've never been a foul-mouthed person like that. But if you're not saved, you'll go to hell. You'll be in hell with Nabal.
Amen.
Say, is he in hell? Yeah, God killed him. It says he was dead twice. The Bible says that sinners are dead in trespasses and sin. But I'll tell you what, after that, it says God touched him and God killed him. And his heart became as stone and he died. We could have the record just like Jesus gave it over there in Luke 16. And in hell, Nabal lift up his eyes, being in torments. He said, well, I'm not a vile person. I don't smoke cigarettes and I don't tell nasty jokes and I don't drink liquor until I'm out of my mind. And I don't run around with other wicked women. You'll be in hell with Nabal unless you get saved. You must be born again, Jesus said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I was thinking about even Peter. He said, I know not the man. Cursed and sworn, said, I don't know Jesus, but he really did, didn't he? But this man said, Who's David? Who is the son of Jesse? And he didn't know it. He's on his way to hell. He died and went to hell. Very interesting what type of person he was. Look with me at verse 11. It says here, shall I then take my bread? Boy, wasn't he a self-conceited one? He was like the devil. You remember what the devil said? I shall ascend up to the throne of God. I shall make my place in the sides of the north. I. Look at what Nabal says in verse number 11. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men which I don't even know? Isn't that something? I. The devil's crowd, all they think about is themselves. Before I got saved, I never was involved with deep sin, but I'll tell you what, I was so proud of me. I just thought a whole lot of me. By the way, you're a Christian here this morning, and you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you go around like a proud peacock and you're never wrong, you need to get right with God. I don't care who you are.
Amen.
God resisteth the proud. We've got people who are really born again, I think, and they think they're somebody. You're nothing but the dirt of the earth that God saved by His grace. You ought to thank God that even Savior even thought about saving something like you.
Amen.
So I'm not going to go to a church that talks like that to me. You know, go to the other one down here. They'll tell you how wonderful you are, and nobody gets saved. I asked the guy the other day. He went to the chapel. Saw him over there. He used to come to this church, brother, and we were over the bowling alley yesterday, and I saw him, and I said, did anybody get saved? He said, I go over to the chapel now. I said, anybody get saved over there? He said, no, we teach the ones that are already with God or something. We get saved. That's terrible. Because I know who the chaplain is there. He gave his name. And you know what it is? He's a hyper, 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 hyper Calvinist. I think someone ought to get saved. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach what? The deeper light. What Jesus said, didn't he? No, he did not say preach the deeper light. Preach the deep things. Oh, I want to be fed. Get right with God. Get out. Win some soul to Jesus. And tell them that Jesus loved them and shed his blood for them and died that they won't go to hell and go to heaven. And it'll do something for you and him.
Amen.
Go around deeper life. Deeper life. There's nothing more wonderful. Get someone out of sin into heaven.
Amen.
Out of their problem into Jesus. Well, I want deep, deep, deep things. We better get back on the milk. Amen. We'll go on to other things later. People don't even know who saves. Amen. God resisteth the proud. Before I got saved, I was so proud, I thought I was the best thing on 2 feet. I thought I was the best Methodist that ever walked. Honestly, I was a pretty good one. But in God's eyes, I was nothing but proud flesh. Proud, useless flesh. God had to bring me down. And I stand before you today, and I'm nothing but a saved sinner. I'm nothing but a saved sinner, Louis. Jesus washed me clean. I deserve hell. I deserve to be with Nabal in the flames. But he came and said, Jack Harvey, I love you and I'll save you. And I just believed it and I saw my wicked, filthy sin and how terrible I was in my pride. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't drink liquor. And I don't run around with girls. And I'm such a good, my mouth, I speak such nice things. God said, you're nothing but old, dirty, proud flesh. Shoulder. He knocked me down so he could lift me up. God hates pride.
I say that again. God hates pride. The only reason God blesses Brother Hammonds, Lieutenant Colonel, is he's a humble man. I say that sincerely. He's a humble man. My, most people with his rank couldn't act like him. He knows how to act too, but I'm talking about in the things of the Lord. We've got to get down where God can do something with us. I go around the country. I said, I got a lieutenant colonel. I get a little dirty boy come up here. I need to get saved. I said, Brother Harry, go talk to him and lead him to Jesus. And he's just as happy to do that as he is to stand up here and lead you in a song or sing a special. And that's the kind of people God's going to bless. He doesn't like this proud man. I want to be somebody. Oh, the way down is the way up. The way up is the way down. He that exalted himself should be abased. I'll tell you what happened to Nabal. God stopped his heart and made it a heart of stone. But you know, Abigail, she came there. You know what she did too, and I want to close with this, is she went in haste. She said, David's going to kill us, that's for sure. By the way, our God's a God of wrath and judgment. And she said, I've got to go, and I've got to go quickly. She said, gather those fake cakes up, gather those raisins up, and gather that stuff up and get those asses together and put it all on it. And she said, you go on ahead of me. And she said, you just meet him with this offering, meet him with this peace offering of what he needs and what he's requested, because I wasn't there when he came. And she went after, and she bowed down, and the Bible says she fell on her face before David. And oh, that's the place of blessing. She came and said, please be merciful. And she made much of David. And she made a little of her own husband. Said his name is just what he is. He's a fool. David said, if you hadn't have come by the morning time, by the next morning, he said, there wouldn't be one man left. I'd have killed all of you. But he liked her humility. He liked what she said. And his wrath was appeased. And God killed Nabal. David didn't have to kill David. Before long, what does he do? He sends and he thought she'd be a good wife because his wife had been given off to someone else. Scripture says Saul was so wicked, took Michal, gave her to Paul, someone else. And David sends requests for her to come. You know, isn't it strange? He was a vagabond out there. I mean, her husband was rich. He was a vagabond going all over the place. But she said, oh, it's all right. I'll be David's wife. I know God's going to do something with him one day. Aren't you glad Jesus reached down and made us his bride? He sees something good in us. I don't know what he sees, but he sees that there's something he can make good in us. He just brings us to himself. He betroths us. We become part of his bride. Aren't you glad King Jesus left heaven's glory, came down and died on a wicked cross and bore our sins in his body on the tree? Listen, Christian, if you're saved this morning, why don't you thank God that you're saved? How many people in this world now? 6 billion people? When I was these girls' age, there were 2 billion people in the world. There's 6 billion people in the world. That's three times as many people in the world as there was when I was these girls' age. In my lifetime, Jesus saved me. I'm in. I'm going to go to heaven just as sure as there is a place called heaven. I'll be there. You better thank God if you're going, that you heard the gospel on how to go. Amen. And don't be like Nabal and say, who is this David? Who is the son of Jesse? Don't say, who is Jesus? Jesus is the Savior. And he came to save you, and you better trust him. And you better make haste like Abigail, because judgment is coming. You better make haste. She came just in the nick of time. His wrath was appeased, and mercy prevailed, and she even became the wife of King David. Let's bow for prayer.